Isaiah 51, beginning at verse 12. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. Now Romans 13, reading verses 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is God's word. We're in a series this fall entitled Finding Freedom, and we've been looking at the many ways that Christ has set us free. Jesus says in John 8, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And the Apostle Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we've been looking at the many different ways. We've touched on a lot of different things, from sin's penalty and presence and power to freedom from the past, freedom from the law. Last week, we looked at freedom from other powers, from the kingdom of darkness, and how Christ has defeated darkness and defeated evil and defeated sin and death, and he holds the keys of death and Hades, and he has freed us so that we don't have to be afraid and live under the power of the kingdom of darkness. Today, we're going to look at another sort of external prison or external force that can bind us, and we can find ourselves in prison too, and that's other people, freedom from other people. Last year I turned 50. Next month I'll be 51, and I think I'm doing okay with the whole process. You lose some things, but there's some things you gain as well. And one of the things you find as you get older, some of you will know this by experience, is you don't care as much what people think about you. And, you know, it just kind of comes with age. I heard Jerry Seinfeld talking about this, and he says, you know, as you get older, people ask you to do something, you just say no. No reason, no excuse, no explanation, just no. He said, Seinfeld says, if he's walking down the street and says someone, and someone says, look at that, and it's behind him, he says, that's okay. I've probably seen something like that. You can tell me what it's like when you saw it, or I'll see it on the way back, but I've just seen a lot of stuff, and there's probably nothing that great that I have to stop what I'm doing and turn around and look at it. It's just nothing that, you know, you've kind of seen a lot of stuff. You know, the older you get, you're not just kind of free from other people's demands and expectations. Now, some people are born that way. Their personality sort of lends it, you know, so age is not necessarily a determining factor. And there's some people that even as they age, they're still not free. So it's not a one-to-one correlation. They don't go hand in hand. But we do find that the older we get, the less we care about what other people think about us, right? Well, there's another kind of freedom from other people that doesn't come with age and it doesn't come with personality. It comes from Jesus Christ, who says, I don't want you to be ruled by other people. I don't want you to be governed by other people. I don't want you to be imprisoned by other people. I want you to be free from them. So he says, don't owe anyone anything. Don't be indebted, Paul says in Romans 13:8. Don't be indebted or tied to them. Don't be so dependent upon them. Don't give them the upper hand. Don't live in servitude to other people. The only thing we should have to owe to anyone is to love them. The Bible says that when we live in servitude to other people, that's because we fear them. It's called the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." If you have a fear of man, you're imprisoned, you're caught. That's like a hunter. You've fallen into a trap. You've gotten tied up. A bear trap is closed on you, or you've fallen into a pit. But some way you're imprisoned, and what's got you imprisoned is your fear of other people. You see, we have a problem with people. We're broken on the inside, and so that sin and brokenness that God is putting back together is coming along, but we carry that brokenness into our relationships, and so our relationships don't function like they should. We don't relate to people like we should, and a lot of the brokenness that we suffer and experience in the world has to do with our relationships. A lot of us, our poverty may not be economic poverty or emotional poverty. It may be relational poverty, relational brokenness. Perhaps that's where you feel it the most. And this happens often when people become large in our lives. We may even begin to think that what other people say, what other people think, their opinions about me is really the most important thing. This is the fear of man. And it can weave this web of ambiguity around issues. It can derail us. It can make us act in relationship to each other in ways that we don't even understand, perhaps. Why am I doing this? What's going on? Why can't I get free from this person? Why that person's words have so much effect on me? Why do I care so much? This is all throughout the scriptures, by the way. In Isaiah 51 that we just read, it says, "Who are you that you're so afraid of human beings who will die, descendants of mere man that have been made like grass?" Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Okay, that's the goal. That's be free from other people, to live in relation to other people, realizing that there's nothing that they can do to me because of my relationship with the Lord. Don't fear, he says, the reproach of mere mortals, or be terrified by their insults. Isaiah 51:7. Well, there are a lot of ways this can manifest itself in our lives. I want to think about four of them with you this morning. Briefly on each one. And the first is that we can be trapped in relationship to others by a prison of dependence. A prison of dependence. The prison of dependence happens when we look to others to meet needs that only God can meet. So we're depending upon them to give us something that only God can give us. Every one of us has this God-shaped void within us, right? And only he can fill that void. But we can mistakenly think, well, I'm going to look at this relationship to fill that void, or look at this person to meet that need. When we do this, we're putting other people in the position that only God was meant to occupy. Only he can fill that space. The Bible says that in him we live and move and have our being. In him is our righteousness. In him is our identity. He's the one that defines us. He's the one that shapes us. He's really the only thing that we need. But we can fall into I need this person. I need this relationship, or I need that person's approval. I need to know what this person thinks about me. And it becomes this deeply rooted compulsion to use others as our source of identity and value and well-being, as a way to restore this brokenness. And the reality is only God can do that. It can be our spouse. It can be our children. It can be our parents. It can be a friendship. It could be people in our past that have long since been out of our lives. It could be people that we haven't met yet, a future spouse or children. That could be controlling us. The reality is that it does a couple of things. It distorts our relationships with them. We can't really love them. All we can do is use them, because the relationship has a purpose. The relationship has an agenda set by our hearts. But the main thing is that we're being chained. We're locked into them. They have an enormous power over us. A small word can destroy us. A small word could make our day. This is one aspect of the fear of man. The world calls this codependence. This is the world's definition of it. It's a pretty good definition. It says a codependent person is one who has let another person's behavior affect him and who is obsessed with controlling that person's behavior. And God says, look, you need to be listening to me. I need to be the dominant force in your life, not being controlled by other people. He didn't design us to live in servitude, bowing down, bending down to other. We're called to be in relationships and love those that we're in relationship with, but we can't love them if we need them. If we have to have them, they have to serve our deepest needs. They're there for us. We're not there for them. Jesus even said this to Martha. You know, he says, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary's chosen the one thing, the good portion, which will not be taken away from. There's only one thing that you and I need, and that's him. When it comes down to it, you don't need me and I don't need you. And I can't meet your needs and you can't meet all of mine. So when we make people big and God small, that's what happens. God says, come back over here. Come back away. Come back into my presence. And come and be free from what other people. Listen to my voice speaking into your life. A second prison that we are subject to we're prone to is the prison of deification. When we lift and elevate other people in our lives to the status of heroes, we look to other people and say, well, they've got it together. They've got life figured out. They've got relationships figured out. They've got the job thing figured out. They're beautiful. They've got all the money in the world. Their family's great. They've just got it all together. Instagram doesn't help, by the way, because everything's perfect online, right? Everything's ideal. And we look and say, well, they've got it figured out. And I'm going to elevate that person, and because that person has figured out life. That person's just nailed it. They got it. And it could be a celebrity. It could be a political hero. It could be a Christian hero. It could be somebody in the church. It could be somebody in your family. It could be a sibling. It could be your parents. Anyone. We say, well, they've got it figured out. And so they provide the model for life. And I'm going to conform my life to them. They've got it. They're sort of at the finish line, and I'm in the race, but they're standing with the trophy, and I'm trying to get to where they are. They figured it out. We're listening. If you stop and think about it, that they become the void. When you do that, we've elevated them up and say, well, that's the voice I'm going to listen to in my life. So they're going to define my values. They're going to tell me what to do with my life. They're going to tell me when to get married. They're going to tell me what job I should. They're going to tell me how to dress. They're going to tell me what to look like, how to speak. They're going to tell me what I should think, what my political views should be. I'm not really a person. I'm just a copy of a person. They're the ideal. We're listening to their voice. But the Bible says, no, there's another voice, our Creator's voice. That's the voice we should be listening to. And every one of us has been called out. He's calling every one of us and saying, come here. And what he's saying is, don't come and conform yourself to this image of a person. If you want to conform to anything, look at my son. Look at Jesus Christ. He knew how to do it. He knew how to relate to me and relate to the world and relate to other people and walk in this world. Every one of us is a unique creation of God. We're all different, different personalities, male and female, different giftedness, different jobs, different roles. And every one of us, there is no ideal person out there except for Jesus. God says, don't listen to that voice. Don't lift up other people. Psalm 42:11 says, my God is the salvation of my being. I love that verse. That word being means, in the Hebrew, it means face or person or presence. My God is the salvation of my presence, my being, my personality, my face. My God is the salvation of me. So what God is saving in each one of us is who he created us to be. That unique person has a unique role that nobody else can fill on this earth except for you. He created you to be something, not to be somebody else. So when God speaks to us and he saves us, he's saving the real thing, not a copy of somebody else. And we can turn inward to find who we're to be, and we'll never get the answer to that. And we can turn to other people to find who we should be, and we'll never get to the answer in other people. We have to turn to him and say, God, who are you calling? I will listen to your voice, not to the prison of being. When I deify somebody else, I get trapped in their prison, and I can only be who they are. Who wants to be that? The third prison is a prison of boundaries. What's a boundary? Well, a boundary and a geographical boundary is a dividing line. Marks the end of one property and the beginning of another property. And in relationships, a boundary is what divides one person from another person. And some of us have boundary problems. Some of us think, I'm responsible for all my stuff and all of your stuff. So some of us say, you know, I love you, and I've got a wonderful plan for your life, and you need to listen to me because I've got it figured out. And some of us go along with that and say, okay, well, you just tell me what to do, and I'll just do what you say. I'll be controlled by you. But God says, no, you need to be controlled by me and not by letting other people come in and invade your life and tell you what they think you ought to do. We can be intimidated by other people. Jesus put up a clear boundary with Peter, didn't he? Jesus said, I've got to go die and save my church. I've got to go be crucified on the cross. And Peter says, no, you don't need to do that. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You've crossed over. This is not your call, Peter. You back up. God has called me, and this is what I'm going to do. I was talking to someone this past week, and they put it this way. I love how they put it. They said, every one of us, there's a string, a line of communication between everybody on earth and God. And that string goes straight to them. It doesn't go through somebody else. My string doesn't go through you up to God, and your string doesn't go through me up to God. You talk to him, and you follow his voice. Now, other people may be controlling, and they maybe try to control you. That's their problem. Other people may control you. That's your problem. Okay, if other people are controlling your life, that's your. You need to lovingly and firmly say, all right, you've crossed over. You need to back up, and we need to work this out because this isn't working for me. A fourth prison is the prison of unforgiveness, and this, I think, is perhaps one that, regardless of who we are, maybe these others don't really fit for where you are, but this one fits all of us. This shoe fits every foot in the building, right? The prison of unforgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When we don't forgive, a lot of bad things happen, but one of the most important things that happens when we hold on to a grievance, when we hold on to a sin that has been committed against us, a wrong that we have suffered, when we hold on to that, we think we're hurting them. The reality is we're locking ourselves, we're chaining ourselves to a sin, a piece of brokenness, an instance that, as bad as it is, we say, this is what's going to define me. Wherever I go, I've got to take this with me. So you go to a party, you say, well, hey, have you met my grievance that I haven't let go of? You go somewhere, you know, you get married and you take that with you. You have children, you take that grievance with you. We are called to release those. And one of the reasons we're called to release them is so that we can be free from them. So we can be free to follow God and not be chained and not be dominated by this wrong that was committed against us. Wrong as it was, and wrong it was. I don't know about you, but I tend to hold on to things. I can remember things from decades ago. And, you know, a lot of us, when we get hurt or when we're sinned against, the best thing, you know, we just try to survive. We try to deal with it the best we can. And so it may take a while. But the work of forgiving has to be done, and it starts on the inside. Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to have the opportunity to work out all the relationships. Some of the people that need to be forgiven by you and me may not even be here anymore. Okay? Or that we may not have a relationship with them anymore. But that doesn't mean we're stuck. Because the kind of prison that we're talking about is letting that forgiveness go. And what do? Well, first you call the sin, sin. You say, that was wrong. You say, Lord, that happened. That's a sin, and I'm going to call it what it is. But then we don't just stay there, and we say, Lord, I can't carry this. I can't. This is too big for me. And if I try to carry this, this is going to define my life. I know this. I see this. And you're not asking me to carry this. In fact, you're saying, give it to you. And so I release this sin, and I release this person to you. I give them to you. You take it. And he says, give it to me. I got it. I want it. Release that person to me. And then we ask the question, okay, now God, what does loving this person look like? Now what do I do? I may have to say something. I may have to do something. We may have to confront something. We may have to deal with something in the relationship, but I'm going to do it from the posture of having already released that person and that sin back to you, because I can't do it. I can't mediate. I can't handle their guilt. And so I'm not going to try. We say, this happened, Lord, this is a sin, I'm going to call it what it is, I know that you paid the price for sin, and I'm going to release that person who sinned against me to you, and then I'm going to ask what I do with that person. We need help. We can't do it on our own. And this goes for every kind of sin, every kind of offense. The petty offenses, you know the petty offenses, the sarcastic comments, the little words, the being left out, the picking on you, or whatever it is, the little insecurities, whatever it is. It goes to the offenses that we may have forgotten about because we pushed aside, because it was easier to say, forget it. It's not easy to forget it. And it goes even to the offenses that are so great that we can't even imagine forgiving them. It's easy to say when we've been wronged and sinned against, well, that's no big deal. Because, and I've said it, I say it all the time, because I'm trying to deal with it. I'm trying to survive. It would be better for you and for me to say, God, I can't deal with it. It's not okay, but you take it. He says, give it to me. I'll take it. If we don't, each offense that we don't let go is a brick that we put into this wall, and all we think, or we think we're punishing other people by not letting it go, and all we're doing is building a prison and saying, I'm not going to ever be able to get out of this. And we need to take those bricks and say, Lord, will you take this? This is too heavy for me to carry. I can't take it. And he says, absolutely, I'll take it. God created each one of us for relationships. But he alone can be God. He's the only one that can be God to you and be God to me. Our relationships can't do it. And, you know, it's really not loving to anybody else in your life or my life to ask them to be what only God can be. It's an enormous amount of pressure. Now, some of you may feel that. When we put any person in the place that only God should have, we've stepped into a prison. We've put them in an impossible position that they'll never be able to live up to. And we're dependent upon them. Paul says, owe no man anything. Don't depend upon them for something only God can give you. Because Jesus says, I'm your life. I'm your righteousness. I'm your identity. Look to me. Don't look to them for that. Come here. Owe no man anything by lifting them up and making them a hero. Jesus says, I'm your model. I'm your focus. Look at me. Set your mind on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't be in prison to them by boundaries, by letting them control you. God says, I'm your Lord. Listen to me. Don't listen to other people define your life. And don't be imprisoned by not forgiving others. Jesus says, give it to me. I'll take it. When we don't do that, we're saying, God, you don't hold the keys of death and Hades. They do. They're running my life. And this is the fear of man. This is why God says, in my presence there is fullness of life. Come to me, he says. Come and stay here. And when you may be saying, I can't do this, well, join the club. I can't do it either. And that's why we come. That's why we come. We need to say, you know, God, I don't have the power to do this. And Jesus says, yeah, I know you don't, but I do. And so the key to living the Christian life is not to muster up the strength and the willpower and to go after it, but to say, God, you have to come and fill me. Jesus, you have to give your life, and your life has to be lived through me. It's your life being lived through me. And when we come to the Lord's table, that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying, God, I'm opening up my heart to you. Jesus, will you come in and abide here and empower me to live free from and where I'm imprisoned to other relationships, to be free from the fear of man? Will you do that? Will you come in? And will you live and will you abide here? And will you show me and will you lead me in the way of everlasting life? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would come and that you would fill us and lead us and empower us and free us where we're imprisoned. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.